Well, we are talking about forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, amen to that.
Amen.
You know, you may be wondering why I'm wearing this.
Yeah,
I was wondering.
It's the only sports paraphernalia I have. So, you know. Anyways. Today we're just going to do an extended communion message. Amen?
All right.
And what I thought about is, every time you do something like this, you got to think about something that can become real for us today. And you have the cross, that's 2,000 years ago. And yet it has changed history for 2,000 years.
Amen.
And will continue to change history. An amazing event. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk, like Joe said, on forgiveness.
Amen.
Okay? And I want to read something that I found. Actually, Barb showed it to me. And forgiveness is something that we need to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, bro.
Okay. Now, this book, this is called Calm My Anxious Heart. Okay? I know a lot of the women like reading this. Mm-hmm. It's great for the guys. Not that the guys don't get anxious, okay?
That's
true. Right.
And a great book, a lot of insights in dealing with anxiety. If you don't deal with forgiveness, you're going to be anxious.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Bear with me as I read this. I hung up the phone in shock. I thought Jenna and I had a good relationship, but her irate phone call proved otherwise. She could have... How could she have said those things? If she had a problem with me, why hadn't she come to me and talked about it? I cared about Jenna, about her small children. I thought I had communicated my love and care. Her scathing words hammered at my heart. She had accused me of being selfish and many other things. I tried to sleep, but her vicious words played across my mind like a tape set on automatic replay. Over and over, her accusations ran through my mind. I tried to pray, to think about other things, but Jana's words had taken over my thoughts. I wanted to scream, "Get out! I don't want to hear you again." Finally, I slept, only to awaken a few hours later and discover the tape was still playing. You ever felt that way?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, someone says something and it just, you know, this like alien comes up, you know, like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, there's a tendency to, you can't let it go. It's in here. It's fresh, it's raw, and you can't sleep. It keeps coming back. Every conversation you have, it comes up, and just trying to deal with it. I knew I should forgive Jana, but I felt she didn't deserve my forgiveness. Okay. I couldn't help but dwell on the injustice of her words. I prayed, I wept, I got mad at my husband, I even got mad at our dog. You know it's bad when you kick the dog. I knew God was displeased by my lack of forgiveness, but it was impossible to forget the words that were cemented in my heart. Betrayal hurts. I asked 25 women if they had been hurt in the past year by someone they care deeply about. Would you believe every one of them had experienced hurt or rejection of some kind? I then asked how many had intentionally or unintentionally hurt someone else. Again, everyone responded yes. The newspaper USA Today surveyed adults, asking them what concerns were always on their minds. The highest percentage, 64%, said relationships with loved ones. It's true. Much of our discontent is created as we interact and interrelate with one another. Think about your relationships. Are you 100% at peace with your husband, children, roommate, coworkers, family, and friends? Now, can you relate with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a reality. I want you to raise your hand if you've been hurt in the last year over somebody that you cared about. Yeah. So then you look at it, this is the world we live in. And if we don't learn to deal with forgiveness, it will own us. It's not just going to go away. Betrayal hurts. Sharp, cutting words hurt. People who slander you behind your back. It hurts.
Yeah.
And then things that people do to you, intentionally or unintentionally, it hurts. And as disciples, we got to learn how to deal with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Relationships are all about forgiving and loving. And without that, we're going to be, if we're not going to deal with that, we're in rough shape. It's life.
Yeah.
You know, a number of years ago, when we were in the Madison Church, there's a woman that was very close friends with Barb and I. And, you know, we knew them. We set her, actually Barb did, my matchmaker wife, set up their marriage, okay? And, you know, we were the best of friends. And Barb would have a baby, and then she would have a baby. Then she'd have a baby, Barb have a baby, and that, you know, it was that way. Well, the last time she was pregnant, they found out she had cancer. She lost the baby, but the baby had saved her life as a result. But then a few years later, it came back. And one of the reasons we moved to Madison. And it was hard to watch her slowly die. She had colon cancer, so she literally starved to death. And the amazing thing about this woman is that she was joyful throughout the whole thing. It was just an honor to be in a relationship with this woman. And before she died, I mean, she was skin and bones. And she got up before the congregation and says, you know, you all look at me like, oh, you poor thing. I feel great. She says, I have resolved everything with everyone. I'm ready to go. How about you? It was very convicting. And you know, you look at that and say, what does it take for us to forgive? You know, does God have to put us through a situation and bring us to our knees before we're willing to forgive? Look in Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to look at it a different way. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Now, my guess is that Jesus had to deal with forgiveness. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I would think so. Especially with all of us. Verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray.
I don't have my glasses, so I can't see.
He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray since you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He prayed, he went away a second time, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping, resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. You know, Jesus confided in his friends. And sometimes we think God and Jesus are this great big punching bag in the sky. They can take it. They're powerful. They are, you know, I mean, he's without sin. And Jesus doesn't feel what we feel, which isn't true. He said, I am overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been there. Never been there. And he goes to his guys and says, hey, stay with me. And they're not there for him. Comes back. Guys, I need you. And once again, they're sleeping. And then finally, the third time, and they're falling asleep. And here you got to really weigh this thing out. Here's these fishermen, okay? Burly guys who've been through the rough things of life. Who knows how many times they're off in a boat in the stormy sea in the middle of the night, having to stay awake and deal with things. Could they have pushed past their tiredness and given to Jesus? And maybe they thought
they thought of Jesus the way we tend to think about God. He's tough. He can take it. But they give in to their selfishness. You know, when I was as I was writing this, I thought about people who have betrayed me over the years. And I want you to think about these people. And I thought about, you know, at my greatest time of need, were they there? And there's five specific guys I thought about. And it was painful, the things I went through, these guys. And I'm a little bit older, so I got, you know, five. And I had to deal with these things. And but I remember thinking, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep giving my heart to somebody just to have it stomped on? Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
And the only other option is to harden your heart. That's the only other option. That's at the heart of a disciple. Then I had to ask myself, do people feel that way about me? No, you got a whole different situation. Have I betrayed people? Have I done damage to them? Whether it's intentional or not. This is life. And then, if you look in chapter 26, verse 33, you got Peter. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Talk about eat your words, you know. Never disown you. And you could just sense the conviction that Peter had, and yet Peter does it three times. That very night. How fickle we can be. How easily we can betray people. And you know, we can rationalize it. Hey, you know, I didn't know it was going to be that bad. I just fill in the blank. And then you can have these conversations with people why you did it. And all the rationales and all this stuff. But is the goal to be unified? Yeah. You know, we're all ready to go at it. You did this. You did that. You did this. You ever been in that?
Yeah.
Husbands, wives?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's hard to see from the other person's perspective. Putting yourself in their shoes. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later here. Because that's what Jesus had to do. Now, a lot of the disappointment comes from expectations. I expected you to do this. I expected you to handle this. Why did you drop the ball? Why did you say that? And sometimes we can put unrealistic expectations on people without seeing from their perspective.
Yeah.
Now, what's Jesus' response here? Rise, let us go. All right? That's what he does. In spite of all this stuff, finally wakes them up. Okay, time to go, guys. Wake up. It's time to go. And then really what it was Jesus saying, all right, let's move on. And see, sometimes you just got to say, listen, all's forgiven. Let's move on from here.
Amen.
And it's a hard thing to do. But you got to look at Jesus' whole next 24 hours, and he is betrayed, betrayed, betrayed.
Yeah.
You know, the next line, rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And it says, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer, it even calls him the betrayer, had arranged a signal with them. The one I kissed is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Now this is just the most amazing passage to me. Alright? Judas betrays him with a kiss. You know, he knows Jesus has been preaching on love for how many years?
Yeah.
It's like, here's your love in your face.
Yeah.
And Jesus' immediate response, friend, do what you came for. That's intense.
Yeah.
Immediate response. And what it shows is his love is not conditional on how he was treated. That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional love. I don't care what you do to me, I will still love you.
Amen.
That changes the world.
That's right. That's
Does that make sense? Verse 55, it says, all the disciples fled. So much for one for all for one. Then Peter denies him. And then in the next chapter, verse 46, chapter 27, verse 46, he's on the cross. It says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And right here, you know, a lot of people are wondering what's going on. You know, Jesus at that point became sin. The Bible says he became sin. All the sin of mankind before, during, and after his life of everybody else came upon him. He became that sacrifice. Well, because he became sin, and God can have nothing to do with sin, he was separated. All right? And Jesus saying, where are you, God? I know Jesus understood it, but we are like that. Where are you, God? And people are bitter towards God. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you done this to me? And there's an issue in the relationship because we have expectations of God that are not biblical. And we have this understanding of God in the situation, and we don't think like God. We don't see it from His perspective. And we can get critical with bad attitudes. God is perfect. Bible says He's perfect. So He's not the one in sin here. He's not the one who's done something wrong. Nobody else has been tortured to death for your salvation. He's in it. He believes in us. He's gone the extra mile. And we got to understand that forgiveness is not an option. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 6:14, Jesus says, if you are unwilling to forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. That's pretty intense, but it's true. And it's this attitude of, I deserve forgiveness, but I won't forgive Bob or Bob. I won't forgive them, okay? And God says, but you want forgiveness? And it's just pride. What right do we have not to forgive people? What it is pride. It's thinking, I deserve, it's like what this woman said, you know, I deserve forgiveness, but you don't. And then we play God. And it's a scary place to be in. Now, what happens if you don't? You know, what if you don't forgive? You know, Peter even asked that of Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 21. He says, how many times should I forgive someone when they sin against me? Seven times?
Yeah.
70 times 7. And you know, you think about it, it's like, whoa, how many times do I have to stick my head out there and just get clobbered? You know? And they're thinking you're an idiot. And it's our pride saying, I don't want to look like an idiot. And Jesus is saying, listen, forgiveness is not so much for just for them, it's for you. Because what happens if we don't forgive? We get bitter. We don't get better, we get bitter. And bitterness will breed. It'll grow. And it won't stop. It will own you. Let me read another portion of this book. And she quotes another book. In the book Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, Charles Swindoll poignantly expressed what happens when we're held captive by the bonds of bitterness. Bitterness seeps into the basement of our lives like runoff from a broken sewer pipe.
Oh, man.
Every form of ugliness begins to float to the surface of those murky waters. Prejudice and profanity, suspicion and hate, cruelty and cynicism. There is no torment like the inner torment of bitterness, which is the byproduct of an unforgiving spirit. It refuses to be soothed. It refuses to be healed. It refuses to forget. There is no prison more damaging than the bars of bitterness that will not let the battle end. Despite its evils, bitterness holds many of us captive, Forgiveness is the only escape route out of this prison. Boy, what a powerful visual aid of bitterness. You know, once again, you go back to the cross, and you got to think about Jesus on the cross. Here he is, he's alone. The only two people are there, Mary and John. And I'm sure Jesus, he's up there for, I don't know how many hours, 6 hours, and I'm sure he thought, where are the people I healed? Where are the people that I rose from the dead? Where are they now that I need them? You know, that's pretty intense when you think of the level of forgiveness that Jesus had to go through. And, you know, in Luke 23, 34, you don't have to turn there. Jesus says one thing, and I think this will help us out. How do you deal with it? He says, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. And I think for us, what we've got to do is we have got to let it go. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the damage they've done to me. They don't know the damage they're going to do to themselves, so on and so forth. And the key, the heart of a disciple, is to walk like Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to close in prayer here and then take up the contribution or communion. Is that ready? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for being a great example of love and forgiveness. It is hard to even begin to understand the pain and suffering you went through.
Yeah.
How hard it must have been for Jesus to be mocked when he did nothing wrong. And how people treated him and tortured him for our sin. I pray, God, that we will take it to heart, that we will learn to forgive and free ourselves up of the bitterness that can be in our souls. And that we'll be free of it, and that we will change the world, and we'll have such an impact that miracles will happen.
Yeah.
And I pray, God, that is on the forefront of our mind, because we know that people abuse us on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.